Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Share the message that God has put on my heart and hear from the Lord. Amen. I'm one of them people that, hey, until I hear something from God, I'm not preaching. You know, if I got to preach tomorrow and I haven't heard nothing, I'm going to be like, hey, well, I guess we're just supposed to worship today. You know, why I do that? Because I take it serious. You don't want to say God said something and he didn't say it. Amen. So with that being said, I'm excited to be here. We are going to continue on the series that I have been preaching called Preparing for Victory. Somebody say preparing for victory. Now, how did this sermon come about? I was praying and I was like, God, I want to see victories this year. How many people have been praying for certain things? And you're like, maybe you're praying for your children to be saved. Maybe you're praying for doors to open up. Maybe you're just praying for God to do things that he can only do. Amen. So I said, this year, God, I want to see victories. And as I was saying that to God, guess what? God said, well, prepare for victory. You want to see victory? Well, prepare. Yeah. So I was like, okay, how do we prepare? What would happen if all the things I pray for happen? Would I change the way I praise God? Would I know that, man, if I go to prayer, God is going to do something? You start walking differently when you see God answering your prayers. Amen. As we've been seeing, Sister Jane, I know Sister Darcene, we've been praying for that job, and now God is creating a job. Amen? That's the power of God. Why? Because we're praying. So now next time when there's an opportunity to pray, we know that God is going to move. Amen? There was a person, that I was driving a couple of months ago, and her mother had passed away, and her grandma was sick, and they thought she was going to pass away. So I began to pray for her and her grandma. I mean, and one thing she said, she was like, I don't want to lose faith. You know, and that's something serious. Once your mom has passed away, she was like, I already prayed. So I said, God, we pray that you strengthen her faith by allowing her grandma to live. Amen? And the good thing is I've been able to connect with her on Facebook and just say, hey, how is your grandma doing? Praise report. She's out of the hospital. Amen. Next. Okay. How she's doing? She's moving around now. And I'm just like, is your faith being strengthened from this? That's the question I'm asking, because that's the prayer that we've been praying for. Amen. But we have to expect God to do something. Amen. We're going to get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for another time, dear God, that we can come into your house, oh God, and lift your name up, oh God. And we pray to God that you would share something with us that we can hold on to for the rest of our life, oh God, that we can hold on to and apply, dear God, as we prepare for victory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. Amen. So I went over a couple of things. I talked about David and Goliath. Amen. We all know about David and Goliath. But how many of you know that David got prepared for Goliath before Goliath came? Amen. Goliath wasn't the only giant he defeated. Amen. Because we talked about bears and lions that David killed with his bare hands. Amen. And if you look at, and I talked about it last time, if you look at a lion is about 9 feet. A bear is usually bigger than 9 feet. So when Goliath came, he was like, I already did this. I already killed a lion and a bear, and that's what he told King Saul. Look, I've already done this before. This is nothing new. So he was already prepared for the battle. Some of us, we go into a battle, and we're not prepared. Amen? And if you're not prepared, you're going to fail. Now, my kids, they're playing basketball, and, you know, I do film. We already getting the film. And I'm like, okay, kids, what did you do wrong? Why do I do this to them? Standing next to you, you're going to probably do the same thing Joshua did. He's like, hold up, who are you? Why you got the sword out? Slow down for a second, right? But he says, Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. All right. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked, what message does my Lord have for his servant? What message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, and the place where you are standing is holy ground. Amen. And it ends there, but that chapter ends. But I want to say this. It's very important to get to the place where you can hear the message of God. Amen. I don't think that this angel just showed up just because. I believe that Joshua's relationship with God allowed this angel to be there. He was probably, you guys know about the Battle of Jericho. We're going to read about that today. But you know that before he went out, Joshua was accustomed to praying and asking God for direction. Amen? And how do we know this? Even in this passage, it says, what message does my Lord have for his servant? We have to get to a place if we want to be prepared to win. We have to get to a place where we constantly go to God and ask God, what do you want me to do? God, what direction should I go into? Amen. And when we have that mindset of God, I don't even want to go without you telling me where to go. You're going to get the instructions from the Lord that will help you be a winner. Amen. And it's important that we do this. Now, what keeps us from doing this sometimes? Pride. Right? Now, you know, pride, we say the pride word, and that's like a slap in the face to Christians, right? But how many of us don't pray sometimes because of pride? Oh, I can figure this out. And what you do is you don't tell God, hey, God, I can figure it out. But instead of sitting and taking time to pray with the Lord, you're like, oh, I'm just going to figure it out in my mind. How can I get this thing rectified? But the number one thing about us in Jesus Christ is we need God. Amen? We need God. We cannot do these things in our life, whether it's simple things. We have to realize that our help comes from the Lord. Yes. It is not from us. Amen? We might be the greatest at what we do, but if we don't learn to surrender to God, we're missing out on the point of what God has us here for. Amen? So it's important to remove pride. And even if you think you have it together, even if you think, okay, I could do this on my own, still ask God, God, help me, Lord. Some of those prayers are the best prayers you can pray, right? You don't got to sit there for hours, even though sometimes that's great. But sometimes just say, God, help me. God, give me direction so I can lead my family in the right way. God, give me direction so I can say the things that I need to say to them, even if it seems like it's tough. God, give me wisdom and insight on how to speak to these people. Amen. As I share in my testimony, I always get a chance to talk with people in the car. And one of the things that I pray for is, God, give me wisdom to say the right things. And not only wisdom, give me insight, because if you give me something to say that is going to be a confirmation, they're going to know that it was only from the Lord. Amen. Now, I can't do that on my own. Right. But if I'm going to prepare to win, I have to say, God, what do you have? What message do you have for me? Amen. Now, the next thing after you seek God for instructions is, after you got the instructions, what must we do? Follow the instructions. Amen? It's that simple, but sometimes we get the instructions from the Lord and we have the basic instructions or the best instructions before leaving earth, right? And as a matter of fact, it doesn't end once we leave earth, right? But we have these instructions, but some of us don't follow them. There was a testimony that I heard this week of somebody that used to be married to somebody that said he was a Christian, right? But that Christian decided to do what he wanted to do when he felt like doing what he wanted to do. And in my opinion, right, unless he repented, that's not a Christian. A Christian doesn't do what they want to do. Your will has been surrendered. Jesus said, If any man wants to follow me, he must deny himself. See, this is very important because today people don't want to deny themselves. I want to take my cross up, though. God, I want to follow you, but deny yourself. Oh, I don't know about that. I'm picking and choosing what I want. Why? Because you're making up your own Christianity. Jesus even said, I have to deny myself, even though, and we know he did this in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he said he didn't want to have to die. But he said, not my will, God. I'll deny myself and I'll do what you want. Amen. So it's important once we get the instructions, even if it seems difficult, because how many of you know that it's not going to always be easy following the Lord? There's going to be some things that you do that is going to that is going to make you look stupid to other people. There's going to be some things that when you follow the instructions that God gives you, it's going to look foolish. Noah was building an ark and it never rained. Right? And Noah's telling them, hey, it's about to rain. What are you talking about? Rain? What is rain? Oh, just imagine explaining rain to somebody that had never seen rain before. Right? It's going to rain. Now, my kids were watching Flushed Away. And it's funny. Sometimes it's funny, but sometimes you got to watch what they do. In this movie, they had a guy that was saying, the flood's coming. And he looked a little skeptical, a little crazy. But guess what? The flood came, right? And in the movie, if you haven't seen it, that's when everybody flushed their toilets. And yeah, it was interesting. But we have to say this. Noah never saw rain, but because God gave him instructions, he followed them. So let's see what Joshua does in Joshua chapter 6. I'm going to read this whole story, so let's get into it. It says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. All right. So first of all, even before they came, he's already got this instruction that he's going to defeat this place. And they're scared. How do we know they're scared? Because the city shut down. Ain't nobody coming in. Ain't nobody coming out. Or nobody is coming in and nobody is coming out. Right. That's what it says. No one went in and no one came. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with the armed men and do this for 6 days. All right. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark. And on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them, sound a loud blast on the trumpets. Have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse. And the army will go up, everyone straight in. All right. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have the 7 priests carry the trumpets in front of it. And he ordered the army advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. All right. So Joshua, let's just keep on going. Verse 8, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. All right, so this is interesting, right? You got to. First of all, Joshua was obeying the orders, but then his whole army has to obey the orders, right? This is the only way that this thing is going to work, is when you get the instructions from God, you obey them and obey them to a T. Amen? What verse are we on right now? Verse 11, so he said, so he had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to the camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up the next morning and the priests took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carried the 7 trumpets, went forward marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And they did this for 6 days. Now, it's important. Something something's important about this 7 days that they did this thing, right? Maybe these 7 days, well, we know the number of seven is completion in the Bible. So when we think about this, they not only obeyed, but they completely obeyed. Amen? When you think about the instructions that God has given, you cannot partially obey and think you're going to receive what God has for you. Amen? You cannot do that. Why? How do we know this? Because Judas partially obeyed Jesus. But he was called the son of perdition. Right? I mean, it was pretty bad for Judas. Doesn't get any worse than that. But I've been thinking about Judas for a while. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, Jesus knew Judas was going to do this the whole time. But the power of Jesus' love allowed Judas to stay around him. And we sometimes, this is just a side note. We sometimes, if somebody does one thing wrong to us, we don't want to forgive them. We don't want to have nothing to do with them. They ain't of God. Judas was the son of Satan. Jesus said that. But Jesus' love kept him around. All right, just take that, put that in your notes for later. Let's go. On the seventh day, verse 15, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city. How many times? Seven times in the same manner, except that on the day they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." All right, now once again, let's look at this from Jericho's perspective. All right, Jericho, what are they doing? This is the army that's going to come defeat us, but they were already fearful. They're probably like, wow, that's, what are they doing? We're scared because they're walking around. Are they going to, just imagine the fear that struck them every day that they walked around. And how many know they were seeing what was going on? God set this up to put so much fear in their hearts that by the time that they were going to come, they were already going to be destroyed. Probably on the seventh day, they probably got their beach chairs out. Oh, they're coming again. And when they marched around again, they're like, oh, wait, they're doing something new. Hey, look, they marched again. Right? They're not even prepared. They're not prepared, but the people of God are prepared because they're obeying the instructions. Amen? Verse 16 says, the seventh time around when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." Now, when we are fighting our battles, we have to know that the Lord is fighting the battle. Amen? We got to remember that, because sometimes you think, when you think it's your own strength, you lose. King Saul started off really good. Started off, "God, help me. Tell me what way to go, God." Then he's like, "Hold up, man, I did this. We're supposed to wait for the Lord." No. Look, just do what I tell you to do. I'm the king. Right? He kind of got that pride. He stopped asking the Lord for direction. Then after he stopped asking the Lord for direction, he couldn't get back to the Lord. So he had to go to some witchcraft people, some palm readers, somebody that had another way, because he couldn't get to the Lord. Right? Because he stopped obeying the instructions. See, when you stop listening to God, it gets harder and harder to hear from the Lord. But as you obey him, it gets easier and easier. Now it's, okay, God, we're on good terms. Why? Because I'm obeying your word. Not because of all the great things I do. We're on good terms because I'm obeying you. And that's very important. If you want to be victorious in the life that God has for you, that's what you have to do. Amen? When you're at your job, one of the things Pastor Willie said is he goes with an attitude, not a bad attitude, a good attitude, right? It was funny because a couple of weeks, somebody said I had a bad attitude while I was driving. And I was like, what are they talking about? Like, I constantly hear that I'm the best driver that Uber ever had, right? I expect that kind of stuff. Every job I go to, I expect to hear a report like that. Why? Because I carry myself with a good attitude. If you're having a bad attitude, I'm going to try to figure out a way to make you laugh. I'm going to try to figure out, hey, man, come on, man, it's not that bad, right? You're still alive. When people ask me, how you doing? Today's a blessing. I'm here. They're like, oh, yeah, it is a blessing. Why? Because I change the atmosphere because I come with a good attitude. Pastor Willie changes the atmosphere because he's coming with a good attitude. He's not firing people there. Hey, man, he used to have a job, but he used to, oh, every time, oh, I had to fire everybody. Right? But the good thing is he goes with expectancy. Amen? And we have to go with the Lord, obeying his instructions. God never wants us to have a bad attitude. When Jesus was angry, he didn't have a bad attitude. They were doing wrong. So he, at that moment, Jesus was a judge. Right? Oh, you come in and you can't come into this house like this. And Jesus was, the interesting thing was Jesus always was going to the synagogues. So I don't know, just was that day the day that he was just like, it's time to get up. I done seen him a couple days and I'm about to get him today. Right? But what he was doing was correcting the house of God. Amen? All right. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall be spared because she had hid the spies we sent. All right. That's interesting because some of us, we think that she wasn't worthy of salvation, which is really what that was. She was saved. Amen. But she knew. Now, how many people in this city knew that they were coming to defeat them? Everybody. Why? How do we know? Because nobody came in. Nobody came out. Right. They were on lockdown. Right. How many people have heard about lockdown? If in Issaquah, if a bear or a cougar is in the school grounds or around schools, they lock down the school. Right. When crazy people that do crazy things are around schools, they lock it down. Right. Jericho was locked down. But Rahab was like, hold up. Man, if they're going to defeat us, let me figure out a way that I could be saved. Right. And how many of you know that just because of her past, God doesn't look at her past. God wants to create a new creation. Amen. So it's important to see that. But she was spared. But then it says, but keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. This is another what instruction that they had to listen to. Right, Markiana? Yes. He says, otherwise you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. Now, this is an important thing. Right? This is still the instructions. All right? It says, all the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into the into his treasury. Now, that's almost like, you know, people getting a blessing and they don't want to give God none of it. I'm just saying. Let's keep going. When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in and they took the city. They devoted the city of the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Now it's so interesting because some people will be like, why did God have them do that? Right? Now, I look at the Old Testament like this. We don't do this now, right? Unless we don't do this now. If we were at going to war, we're not going to go kill everybody. Why? Because that's not the sword that Jesus came to bring. Right? Jesus changed it. Now you're to kill all sin in your life. To obliterate it just like they did because these people represented sin. Amen? So when people see this, this is the kind of stuff that make people, oh, well, God is, it's not a just God. Well, I'm just telling you, that was the judgment. Joshua is a huge representation of what is going to happen when Jesus comes back. If you're not living right, you will perish. It's not a game. It's not, well, oh, She looks nice. Maybe we'll give her a pass. Nope. Jesus is not going to give you that pass unless you accepted him. Amen? Joshua said to the two men who spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her. So the young men who had done went spying, went in and brought Rahab, her father and mother, her brothers and her sisters who all belonged to her. The place they brought out of her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city. Once again, this is a representation of what Jesus is going to do, right? They burned the whole city and everything in it, but they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute and her family and all who belonged to her because she hid the men of Joshua, had sent as spies to Jericho, and she lives among the Israelites to this day. And that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath. Cursed before the Lord is the one who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho. At the cost of his firstborn son, he will lay its foundations. And at the cost of his youngest, he will set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. Okay, now this is interesting. One thing that you see is Joshua obeyed, but now people know Joshua. All right? But what does Joshua do differently than Saul? He credits God. Amen? Matter of fact, he doesn't credit God. He said it's all him. It's all God. That's the only reason I'm here is because of God. God is the one that is opening his door, not me. God is the one that defeated it, not me. I'm just a vessel. Amen? And it's important that we keep this mindset even as the ministry grows. It's not about us. We have to always say, okay, God, I still want to serve you, God. I don't want to do this in my own strength. I want you to get the glory out of everything that I do. Amen? So we must follow God's instructions. Now, even that thing that Joshua said, cursed be the person that tries to build Jericho. Somebody did try to build it. And guess what happened? Exactly what Joshua said. Why? Because, as my dad talked about, that was a stronghold. Jericho's wall, stronghold. Somebody went back to that stronghold. There was a spiritual connection for somebody to say, hey, let me build this city up. Why? Because they had that same spirit. Amen? That's why we must not go back to that old stronghold. Amen? All right, now we're going to go to Joshua chapter 7, and I have this listed as staying committed to God and continuing to follow the instructions. Amen. Now, they were told not to touch the gold and the silver. But let's read chapter 7. It says, but the Israelites were unfaithful. Somebody say unfaithful. Unfaithful. See, what happens when you're unfaithful? God has to correct. It says they were unfaithful with regard to the devoted things. And it's interesting because it says the Israelites, but how many know it was just one man? Dang, that's crazy. One man messed it up for the whole nation. So we must pray for our nation that one person doesn't mess it up. Right? It says Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of, man, he was from a lot of people, of the tribe of Judah, took some of them, so the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avon and east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Okay, so look, not everybody's going to have to go. Why? Because we already know we're going to win this thing. Right? We walked around the other place, and then we destroyed. God is with us. They're getting puffed up. Right? So he said, send 2,000 or 3,000 men and take it and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there. All right? So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed. Somebody say routed. Now, how many of you have seen a rout? Right? Some of those are the worst games when you see a rout. Like, even when you're winning, like, I hate, like playing on a team that's so dominant that it's not, there's nothing you could do. It's just like, I'm not even going to play no more. I'll just help him pat his stats, right? It was a route for the army of God. But they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the heart of the people melted in fear and became like water. All right? Verse 6 says, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. What is he doing? He's back to the place where he's seeking God for instruction. After he was defeated, he's like, God, okay, God, I don't know. And not only did he just go there for a minute, he stayed there the whole night. How many of you know sometimes when things are just not going right, you're going to have to spend a night with the Lord. Amen? Saying, God, okay, God, I don't know what's going on, Lord. I just want to be here in your presence. Help me understand. Why? Because you're humbling yourself. You're even fasting from sleep, and it's pretty much that's what you're doing until you hear something from God. Amen? And sometimes we need to do that. The elders of Israel did the same. Okay, so not only this is the thing that I like is Joshua's doing it, but the elders are doing it because their leader is doing it. How many of you know that leaders will teach people how to prepare for victory? The elders are there as well all night, and they sprinkle dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Now Joshua, he's not even worried about Jericho, right? He's like, God, we could have just stayed on the other side. We was cool over there. It would have been fine. Why? Because sometimes when things go wrong, you want to go back to the comfort zone, right? But that's not what we need to do. It says, pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? Now, so see, this is the thing is, he's not saying this is about him. He's like, God, this is you. This is your representation. These are your people. And he knows I can't fight without you. Now, it's interesting because Joshua was a great warrior. Joshua could have said, okay, we didn't take the whole, let's go back and just rout them right now. There's no way that they should have defeated 3,000, right? That's what people do when they have pride. Let's just go. Let me get more people and go. But that's not what he did, because he needed to seek the face of the Lord. Amen? Then the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? And we know this was probably early morning or something like that, because he was there all night. Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. This is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. Now, that's kind of interesting. Because this one person, and I don't know how many people were there, but there was a million people when they left Egypt, right? So let's just say with 40 years, you know, add 40 years, the million people died off except two, right? We know that. But they all had children. And usually, let's just say you had two children per household. There are 2 million people, right? Okay. 2 million people. And they didn't have birth control, because so it could have been more. But let's say it's at least 2 million people. One person messed it up for 2 million people. Why? Because God's judgment doesn't allow even little things to get by. That shows how holy he is. See, if we have just a little bit of sin in our lives, God is not going to be like, oh, they get the pass. 99% of them is all right. Just that 1% messed up. No, he's going to judge that 1% until you repent and turn away from that. Amen? So that's why it's important to understand that we must be devoted to God and not devoted to destruction. Amen? It says, go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourself in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. Among you, Israel, you cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. Some people that are trying to prepare for victory, you must remove the things that are in your life that are not like God so you can be victorious. Because if you are not removing these things, God will not be with you when it's time to go back to battle. You see, what happens is people begin to remove themselves from the covering of God. That's what happened here. They were no longer covered by God. And when you're no longer covered by God, you're vulnerable to the enemy. Even Job, when he went through all the things that he went through, he was still covered by God. Right? And not only that, he still trusted God even when he went through things. Amen? It's important to know this. It says, in the morning, present yourself. Did I read that? No, verse 14. In the morning, present yourself tribe by tribe. The tribe the Lord chooses shall come forward, clan by clan. And then the clan the Lord chooses shall come forward, family by family. And the family the Lord chooses shall come forward, man by man. All right, so man, they're really, that's crazy, right? So let's just say everybody in, they're going to pick from 50 states. Everybody in 50 states, line up. All right, Washington, everybody in Washington, line up. Right? Everybody in Seattle, line up. Everybody in Rainier Beach area, line up. Now, every household, line up. Man, that was pretty crazy, right? Because God was going to show them who it was. Now, God could have just said, it's Achan. Right? Could have just said that. Achan, from the family of, you know, all the people he was from. But he used this as a lesson to show the nation of Israel the importance of obedience. Amen? All right, verse 15. We're going to wrap this chapter up and then we'll be done for today. It says, whoever is caught with the devotional thing shall be destroyed by fire along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel. Early the next morning, Joshua had Israel come forward by tribes, and Judah was chosen. Then the clans of Judah came forward, and the Zerahites were chosen. He had the clan of the Zerahites come forward by family, and Zimri was chosen. Joshua had the family come forward by the man, and Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah was chosen. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me, okay? Now, it's interesting because Joshua's like, give glory to God. Come on, man. Shame the devil and tell the truth. Right? Now, Achan, he's thinking, man, maybe I can get off now. Right? Achan replied, it is true, I have sinned against the Lord. Now, this is something that's very interesting. He didn't repent. He just got caught. Right? There's a difference between repenting and confessing and then just being caught. Sometimes those people that get caught, they're not really sorry for what they did. Right? I'm just saying. My son, give glory. Let's go to verse 20. Achan replied, it is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. Now, it's so funny. All the stuff he took, he couldn't even use. He hid it. But this was a lust that he had, that he just had to have it. Amen? Some of us are hiding things in our tents that we have lusted so much for, we can't even use it, but they're in our tents. And God is saying, that got to go. Amen? So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was. They took the things from the tent, brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua took with all Israel, he took Achan, son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold, his sons and daughters, his cattle, donkeys and sheep, his tent, and all that they had to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, why have you brought this trouble upon us? The Lord bring trouble on you today. Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. All right. Over Achan, they had heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remained to this day. And the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, the place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. So they were destroyed. And not only did it destroy just Achan, it destroyed everything he had. Why do we see this? Because they were not prepared for victory because they followed their own lust. Or Achan followed his own lust. This is important for us that our heads of the families too. We have to make sure that our relationship with God is at a good place with God, because it can and will affect our whole family. Amen? That's why from time to time I ask my kids, what's the most important thing in my life? I just want to hear what they say. I'm not hinting, what's the most important thing in my life, kids? But they're like, it's the word of God. And I'm like, thank God. Why? Because that's a good testimony. I want my kids to hear me praying. I want my kids to see me in the word. I want them to see that I have a desire for the Lord, so that they take that same desire and run with it. Amen? So when we are preparing for victory, we must seek God's instructions. Get rid of the pride that's in our life. Follow his instructions and fully be committed to the Lord. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for this time, oh God. We pray to God that this word would continually impact us, oh God. Allow us to seek you out with our whole heart, oh God. Dear God, we pray to God that you would be with us. Dear God, and I even pray for everyone that has heard this sermon, dear God, today, that through this they would hear your voice, dear God, and that they would act in obedience to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say, amen. If that was impactful, just slip your hand up. Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.